Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Sometimes I ask myself, where would I be without coffee? And then that thought is immediately followed by, it doesn't matter because I have coffee. I never have to find out because I have coffee. And I am eternally grateful for all of the coffee. I heard a few years ago, I hope this is not true, or I hope the situation's been rectified, that by such and such a year, a few years down the road, there would be a coffee bean shortage, much to my chagrin. Do you know what would happen if there was a coffee shortage, or if all of a sudden coffee was no longer available in the United States or in my town? First of all, I would exhaust every Amazon option to get it. But second of all, more importantly, if and when coffee ever disappears and we are no longer able to access it, that will be the end of my career. Immediately. I will retire immediately because I cannot work without coffee. Not during football season. I guess I could do something more simple than cover football and sports for a living, but every Monday, every Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday, yep, all of those days, I'm so thankful for coffee. Fueled, caffeinated, fired up about football, that pretty much describes your host. Let's hope for the next 4 hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to hear from so many of you on this Monday. It was a manic Monday, but it was also Mom's birthday. And if you haven't seen, I don't know why the photo is so gigantic on a desktop. Oh my gosh. It doesn't look that big on my phone. It's a humongous photo on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you want to see my beautiful mama. This was a photo that was taken just a few weeks ago. So it's the most recent photo that I have of the two of us. We took a few. And right after this photo, the heavens opened up and it was a monsoon in the Houston area. And so this was one of the photos that we managed to get. And I stink at selfies, so maybe that's why it's a gigantic photo. But I appreciate that so many of you responded to my post about Mom's birthday. You're not going to believe what happened. For those of you who were not here last week, when I was explaining how disappointed I was that my brother had usurped me and ordered an arrangement of fall-colored flowers, his got delivered on Friday. So he and my sister-in-law, who actually spent the weekend with me, they decided that they would have Mom's flowers delivered on Friday so she could enjoy them all weekend. Without knowing that my brother had pre-ordered flowers to get delivered to Mom, I did the same thing. Now, I should have known because this is one of my brother's go-to moves. I did not realize that he had also ordered flowers, so I went ahead and I ordered some flowers to be delivered on her birthday. Orange roses, gigantic sunflowers, some very pretty and bright fall colors because I know that's what I would love. I didn't tell my mom, even though I wanted to explain to her that I wanted to just smooth it over. Mom, I'm sorry. I didn't know that Matt was also getting you flowers, but I managed to keep my mouth shut. I'm not great at keeping secrets from Mom, but I managed to keep my mouth shut. And so when I woke up on Monday afternoon, mom was home from school and we talked for a second. I told her that I would call her on video once I was done walking Penny. And so in between the time that I called her and I got finished walking the dog, her flowers showed up. She was very excited. She sent me pictures. Thankfully, the arrangement looked nothing like what my brother and sister-in-law had sent her. So that's all well and good. We do a video call. She shows me the flowers. She assures me she loves them. They're not the same. We hang up after lots of birthday wishes and a fun conversation. An hour later, she says, she sends me a text and says, "You better be sure you didn't get charged for two flower arrangements because the second one just showed up in my door." So, same note. You know how the flower delivery company will ask you, the florist will ask you if you want a note. Now, this is a national company that I'm assuming goes through local florists to have their flowers delivered. So, an hour later, there's another knock on the door and another set of flowers. They look completely different. This one does not have orange roses, but it's similar in, well, the vase is completely different. So, she's got two different vases, two different arrangements. The idea is the same. Orange, yellow, some reds, some burgundies. The note is exactly the same, meaning my order got placed twice and with two different local florists. So somehow they got screwed up and my mom got not one, not two, but three bouquets of fall flowers for her birthday.
That's quite a surprise.
Yeah. And I've checked. I only have one order confirmation, one order number. I did not pay for two sets of flowers. Now, I'm going to keep an eye on my credit card over the next week or so just to be sure. But not. I guess I shouldn't have been worried about the fact that my gift was a repeat of my brother's because she's got three sets of fall arrangements in her house now. So happy birthday to you, Mom. That's comical. And I guess I could call the company and say, "Hey, by the way, you sent two arrangements," but I'm not going to. It's not my mistake. And I'm certainly not going to pay for a second one because it wasn't my problem. But I am thrilled that Mom has flowers all over. I said, "Mom, it's like your funeral or something. People are sending flowers thinking that something drastic and terrible has happened." Anyway, so birthdays are not like funerals. Birthdays are to be celebrated. And she said, "Ho-hum, it was a nice day." Mom, surviving another year on this planet is worth celebrating. Do you know the kind of, you know, stuff that we have to deal with every day? And so, she's very excited that, this is my nerdy mom, she can vote early on Tuesday. That's her big birthday gift to herself. And she also got herself a new cover for her Kindle. But I said, "What are you going to do for your birthday?" "Vote early." She's way too giddy. But I suppose at my mom's age, the fact that she's still very into voting and very into supporting her candidates that she agrees with and that she likes, that's good. I'm glad. And she still teaches full time. So you would never know. Sometimes I run into people who are my mom's age and I cannot believe that they're in the same stratosphere even, because mom is still so vibrant and active and she's a goofball. She's really funny. We laugh all the time. Most of the time it's because we do stupid stuff and we laugh over stupid stuff. Oh, she really enjoys my dating stories. She thinks those are very comical. "How do you find these guys?" That's what she says to me. "Where do you find these guys?" That's a great question, Mom. Anyway, she'll never not be a meddler. Don't tell her I said that. She'll never not be involved. She'll never not be all up in my business because that's what Italian moms do, at least mine. I wonder to her sometimes, so sometimes to myself, but sometimes wonder aloud to her, "Mom, why aren't you all involved in Matt's business?" "Well, he's married and this and that." "Dumb reasons." "Well, so when I get married, you're not going to be all involved in my business?" "Well, I don't even know what you mean." Okay, Mom. I mean, sometimes I just say to her, "Mom, I'm an adult. I don't have to do what you say." She's not only does she like to give me advice, she likes to tell me what to do, even though I'm no longer a teenager. So, yes, mom is all up in my grill all the time. But the older I get, the more I appreciate her. And if you want to check out the photo, it's, I don't know why it's so gigantic. It probably won't look that way on your phones, but it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I had to share it on my personal Facebook page. I rarely post on my own Facebook page. I spend more time on Jay's Facebook page. Don't ask. But anyway, so I actually posted on my Facebook page because so many people that I'm quote unquote friends with on Facebook actually had mom as a teacher, or they know mom from when we were growing up in New Hampshire, when I was growing up in New Hampshire. And so lots of people sending her kind words about her birthday. She's a great role model to so many, and the kids still love her. Lots of kids at school were wishing her happy birthday as well. So yay for mom. Not one, not two, but three flower arrangements. Three for the price of two. She's so dumb. I still can't stop laughing over it. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So on Twitter or on our Facebook page, I know I promised you all some fall photos from my weekend of hiking, yada, yada, yada. I didn't have a chance to post them yet. It's just been that kind of a two-day stretch. So I apologize for that. I'd like to follow through my promises. I did not. I will. We got a lot to get to. And so we're going to dive right into Monday Night Football. And I have this whirlwind of thoughts after seeing the end of week 7. So I'm oh so anxious to share them with you. But thank you for all of your tweets about Stranger Things in the NFL. That was our Sunday theme, Stranger Things. And if you haven't yet voted in our Monday mortification poll, whose was the most miserable and the most mortified on Monday? We gave you four options. My favorite is when people tell me I forgot. Yeah, dude, I've forgotten more than you know about sports. So don't tell me I forgot anything. So, but that's a go-to line. You forgot. If I forgot a few hours after it happened, I shouldn't have this job. So the poll is up on Twitter. It's also up on our Facebook page still. You have about an hour to go, and then we will reveal. Well, we got the big reveal, but we've also got audio to go along with it, because really at this point, it's one of two options. We'll see whether or not either of the others make a surge, but I don't think so. You guys were pretty heavy on two particular options, so check that out on either of our social media sites. And we'll reveal a little bit later on. Plus, we'll give you the candidates for TD of the week. That's a Monday night into Tuesday morning staple. I suppose there are candidates that we could take away from Monday Night Football, but I'm not sure that's the focus on this Monday night, as the Bears start out with a double-figure lead, lose their double-figure lead, and then go from being behind to scoring on five consecutive drives. I know Matt Eberflus called it a tale of two halves. Honestly, the only blip, the only downturn for the Chicago Bears was the second quarter, and that was only really two drives for New England. I got to tell you, it took me a minute to realize Bailey Zappi was in the game. Why? Because I was watching Peyton and Eli, and they didn't mention it right away. And so here I am, minding my own beeswax, watching Peyton and Eli, the Monday Night Mannings, and I was probably fiddling around on my computer as well. And all of a sudden, I hear the crowd reacting, and I recognize, oh, okay, wait a minute. That crowd's gotten a lot louder. That's because the rookie is in the game. So we're going to get to Bill Belichick's reaction. We're going to get to his answers about his quarterback spot. But just so you know, according to those who cover the Patriots on a regular basis, Mac Jones took 90 to 95% of the snaps this week in practice. Once he was cleared, he took the majority of the first team snaps. But after he started and the Patriots offense started with a three and out, and then an interception on their third drive, which ended early in the third quarter, their third drive ending early in the second quarter, that was it. No fanfare, just a quarterback change. Again, this is after the Patriots have already fallen into a 10-0 hole.
Receiver motion, shotgun snap. He runs laterally after the snap at the five, cuts over the left tackle, dives in, touchdown Chicago. Justin Fields taking it himself and veering in over the tackle on a 3-yard touchdown run for the Bears. And they've scored again, and for the second consecutive time tonight, now on top, 9-0 over New England.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. I heard he and Kurt Warner engaging in a one cheek equals 2 feet conversation in the third quarter. Just those two are so much fun to listen to. So we always like to work him in. So yes, after the Bears jump out to this 10-0 lead, the quarterback change is made without a whole lot of fanfare, but boy, did the fans themselves react at Foxborough.
Meyer split right, Thornton left. Stevenson, Harris in the backfield with a play fake to him. Zappi drops back. He throws a long ball left. Wide open, Jacoby Myers, who makes a twisting, diving catch.
He's
and
in.
Squirms into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Look at this place. It feels like AFC divisional round against Baltimore.
Stevenson in the red gloves and red shoes. Single setback behind Zappi. Takes the snap and gives. Ramadi runs it left. He runs it to the end zone. Untouched as the Patriots take the lead.
Zappi just walks over to the goal line to shake his hand like he's been doing this for 6 years.
It was quite a Zappi jolt, not only with back-to-back scoring drives, but also with the way the crowd responded. For those of you who remember, when Kenny Pickett took over in the third quarter, so he comes out of halftime, he replaces Mitch Trubisky in a game with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and in that moment, you didn't even really need to know what had happened. You just recognized by the reaction from the fans that a quarterback change had been made. You didn't have to hear it from the announcers. You didn't have to see it with your own eyes. You could just tell because the fans had been waiting for it. This is what they wanted. So clearly at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, this is what Patriots fans wanted. Now the mirth, the excitement was short-lived. I don't think it was the second quarter, but I am damn sure I heard it in the third quarter, booing Bailey Zappi and the offense. That's how quickly things change. Life comes at you fast. And honestly, while Zappi and the offense certainly did regress after those back-to-back scoring drives, a lot of this was on the Patriots defense. And give credit to the Chicago Bears, who rattle off 5 consecutive scoring drives from late second quarter all the way into the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Bears defense was up for the challenge, regardless of who the quarterback.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game, our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Was out there.
Fourth down and two. In the gun. Trips to the right. Snap. Blitzes on. Pockets tight. Ooh. Bailey Zappe tip. Intercepted. Connor Gordon. Down the right side. 30. 20. 10. And shoved out of bounds. Kyler Gordon with his first NFL interception. Hopefully one of many more.
There were three interceptions. The one off Mac Jones. The two off Bailey Zappe. Zappe also had a fumble. So ultimately, there were four takeaways, three turnovers by the rookie. That's not what Bill Belichick wants. And certainly the way that the offense performed outside of those two drives was brutal. What have we been talking about the last couple of weeks in the NFL is the brutal offense. Patriots fitting right into that. Maybe there was some rust with Mac, and he was their feature running back in the first quarter. He was doing more running the ball than he was passing. His touch was definitely off. And I understand why Belichick had a low tolerance to start the game. Three empty possessions, a pair of three and outs, and then the Mac Jones pick. But once you look at the entirety of the game, this was domination by the Bears. Outside of those two scoring drives that put a jolt into Gillette, this was total domination by the Bears in a bunch of ways. And we'll talk about those. You'll hear from Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields. Huge win for them on the road at the Patriots, trying to keep pace with the Minnesota Vikings are off this weekend, but trying to keep pace with the Vikings in the NFC North. That just sounds funny coming out of my mouth. The Bears and Packers are now sitting on the same record, 3-4. There's a lot to break down. But the Bears defense had the last laugh, didn't give up more than those two touchdowns. In the second half, the Patriots were shut out. In fact, three of four quarters, the Patriots were shut out. So this is not just Mac versus Bailey. This is not Jones versus Zappe. This is bigger than which quarterback is on the field. And I tell you what, with the Chicago Bears, it's a similar theme to what I've felt and seen around the NFL. If you can establish the run, if you can dominate the line of scrimmage, if you can control the ball by running it ad nauseum, you do it until your opponent can stop you. I don't care if it's simple. I don't care if it's boring. If you have the ability to run the ball and keep it away from your opponent, I think you use that strategy until an opponent figures out how to slow you down. And the Patriots didn't do that against the Chicago Bears. An overwhelming win for Chicago on Monday Night Football. But as I say, a lot to pick apart. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page. It's Monday. We survived our Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Empty spread this time. They back a pair of receivers left, spread out three to the right. Patriots show blitz. They got a picket fence behind him. Quick throw, screen. Herbert to catch, 20. There he goes, 10. Nobody's going to touch him. End zone, touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And Fields was whacked by a couple of Patriots on a beautifully executed pass. Fields to Herbert, and the Bears are back in front. High formation with blasting game ahead of David Montgomery on the left hash under center. They drag the tight end. He takes and turns. Fields on the give. Montgomery powers in. A pad thumping touchdown run left into the end zone. Here in New England, and the Bears continue to expand their lead. It is 32-14.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Oh yeah, here we are. We're talking football. Let's go. Speaking of let's go, Tom Brady was in, I would say, a thoughtful, pensive mood on his Monday edition of Let's Go. And I made a point to listen to the first 5-6 minutes. I even posted some quotes on Twitter because I feel like his situation, the Buccaneers situation, and the challenge they're facing is not that unique if you look around the NFL. There are a lot of teams right now hanging in the balance. Where are they going to go? After a bad stretch, after some brutal offense, how are they going to fix it? Now's the time. There has to be a sense of urgency. I get it. Season's really long, but we're heading into week 8, 2 months down. You got to figure it out and soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Think that could apply to the New England Patriots? No. But for these couple minutes, we'll talk about the Chicago Bears, who have the same record as the New England Patriots and a lot of other teams in the NFL. 3-4, 4-3, 3-3-1. There's a lot of mediocrity in the NFL, to be sure. Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio. They take the lead back from New England late second quarter with a 25-yard TD from Herbert, and then rattle off points on 5 consecutive drives until David Montgomery goes into the end zone from 1 yard out. That's in the fourth quarter, and by that time, all that's left is the final few seconds to tick off the clock. This was an all-around dominant performance. The Bears manhandled the Patriots for the most part. 4 takeaways, including 2 interceptions of Bailey Zappe on the last 2 drives of the game for the Patriots. And once they found that gear, Matt Eberflus knows his team was in a good spot.
In the second half, you know, our halftime has always been, you know, where you look at it, where what can we do better, okay, and what can we do different? And so we always do that. We always look at that. We always try to anticipate what the other team's doing. And I thought our guys did a real nice job with that. Came out and kicked a field goal on the first series there. And I thought we played complimentary football, you know, throughout the rest of the game.
And by complimentary football, the head coach of the Bears is referring to the defense. As we talked about, the 3 interceptions, plenty to spread around, regardless of the quarterback. There were turnovers to boot. But Kyler Gordon getting his first career interception. Roquan Smith, he was right in the middle of everything. The Bears only allowed 260 total yards and 12 first downs to New England.
Well, it's very fun. You know, it's always fun to go out there and show what our defense could do, what our offense could do, what our special teams. All 3 teams are just going crazy. And, the plan was to come out here and execute. And no one's surprised because this is the way we should be playing all the time. And we know that. So just a little reminder us, you know, that we can do that. And we know how we can play.
We played a whole complete game, you know, from the first quarter, you know, to the fourth quarter. So, you know, we keep rolling like this. Everybody keep doing their job. You know, we're just getting warmed up, you know, building our chemistry up, and then we're just going to keep going.
That's just, you know, playing complementary football. So, you know, offense, defense, special teams, you know, the defense gave us takeaways, and we always talk about +2 with the turnover differential. So, you know, the defense did a great job with that. And special teams, you know, we had a few good returns. And first half, I mean, we had, you know, good field position pretty much every drive. So definitely proud of, you know, just everybody, the way they executed today.
So the offense was helped out by the pressure being lifted the way the defense and special teams were playing. And I just go back to this concept of running the ball. If you can run the ball, run the ball. It's honestly, it's not rocket science. And there are teams in the league that can run the ball, that know that's their identity, and then embrace it. And there are other teams who would rather be Peyton Manning. There are other teams who would rather be Derek Carr. Actually, they can run the ball with Josh Jacobs, but just the gunslinger mentality. The Bears know their strength is running the ball. The Titans know their strength is running the ball. The Falcons know their strength is running the ball. The Browns should know their strength is running the ball, and yet for some reason they've gotten away from that. There are teams out there that essentially can dominate almost any matchup in the trenches. Now, certainly there are times when guys are banged up, guys don't have good games, but there are some teams out there that can establish the run, even if their opponents know it's coming. Well, too bad. You're going to take it down the throat anyway. So Justin Fields, 82 yards rushing and a touchdown. David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, 62 yards each. Montgomery with a touchdown. Two other guys with carries as well. 243 yards rushing. And in many cases, what that translates to is ball control. Time of possession. Are you ready for this? Plus 15 minutes for the Chicago Bears. Plus 15 minutes. It's a heck of a lot easier to win on the road or anywhere, really, if you have the ball 15 minutes longer than your opponent does. And when you're in third and short. And the number of times that the Bears were in third and short situations on Monday Night Football, astounding. I actually tweeted this, so I remember it. Through three quarters, they were 10 for 15 on third down. They finished with 11 first downs in the game. I'm sorry, 11 third down conversions for first downs in the game. That's a lot against a Bill Belichick defense. Typically, it doesn't happen. An overwhelming performance by the Bears, except for those two touchdown drives in the second quarter sparked by the rookie Bailey Zappe, which brings us to the Patriots side of things. Did Mac Jones get benched? Is this the end of Mac? The return of the Mac lasted for a quarter, and now it's don't worry, be zappy. I can't help it. Every time I hear his name, that's what pops into my brain. That's Bobby Farron, right? Don't worry, be, well, it's not be zappy, but
I don't remember his name. Is that what it is?
I think it's Farron.
It might be, yeah, I don't remember. I remember Bobby.
It's Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, McFerrin. Okay. Shoot, I was so close. See, there's a Mac in there.
I just knew the Bobby. That
there's always a Mac in there somewhere.
I can picture his face.
Yeah. So Mac Jones' return was short-lived, and he was a running back while he was out there, so that didn't really fit. Is Bailey Zappe the present and the future for the Pats? Oh, dear. What will become of Mac? And, you know, it's Bill Belichick that we're asking these questions.
Ooh, of, I look so like.
Don't expect any concrete information. That's coming up. Plus, speaking of quarterbacks, we got another team making a change at that impactful position. So much happening. It's a Monday. It's a manic Monday, a Monday after an NFL Sunday. Never a dull moment.
You are listening to the After Hour.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game, our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Podcast.
We're
13 minutes into the game, and the Patriots have just made a quarterback change, and Bailey Zappe is in there. First and 10, Patriot 45. Zappe, a quick line drive throw. Belt high catch on the hash mark. 49 of New England. The tight end, Jonnu Smith, hit him right in the breadbasket, right in the belt buckle.
Maybe the most excited I've seen the fan base for a four-yard completion. But, you know, there was a lot of talk because Bailey Zappe had played so well over the last couple weeks. And so Mac Jones come back, make that ill-advised interception, go back to the young guy and see if we can keep that momentum from the last couple weeks.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Zappe.
Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry.
Be Zappe. I can't help it. That's what I think of every time I hear the name Bailey Zappe. But it's okay. It's not a bad image or a bad idea or a bad little ditty to be associated with his name. Although that's more information, more concrete information than we're going to get from one Bill Belichick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Earlier in the hour, you heard Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak, Patriots Radio, those back-to-back scoring drives and the fans going nutso there at Gillette Stadium. Now you get the Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan version on Westwood One, and Kurt makes the observation that this is the most excited that the Patriots fans have been since the game started. And that's what alerted me to the fact that there was a quarterback change. So I generally am watching with the audio down a little bit lower. A lot of times I'm taking notes or I'm also paying attention to stuff on my laptop. Well, I was watching Peyton and Eli, and I was a little bit behind. And so I didn't realize it right away. And then I hear the crowd and it's obvious that they're fired up.
Holy crap!
More than just the fact that they had scored. And initially it was that phenomenal catch by Devontae Parker in which he kind of twists and lays out for it and then gets up and crawls into the end zone, gets up enough to be able to crawl into the end zone. Now it was short lived, right? Because within, oh gosh, a quarter of Zappe taking over for Mac Jones, there were boos in the stadium. I don't know if they were directed specifically at the rookie QB, but there definitely were audible boos. So life comes at you fast. That's for sure in the NFL, especially if you're a quarterback. But also, rookies giveth and they taketh away. They are a roller coaster ride. And Zappe still is very inexperienced and was thrust into this position. He's got a big arm. He'll chuck and duck. He likes to live. I mean, you know what? He plays the way that Russell Westbrook in his prime played basketball. Just kind of hell-bent on making something happen and is fearless. So you have to be somewhat controlled. You can't be just flinging the ball all over the place, but he approaches the game that way. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of life. There's some confidence. And according to Zappe, he all week had the mentality that he was going to get some snaps. And sounds like this actually was the plan.
I prepared like I was, like I have every other week. And if that decision was made for me to go in, then I was going to go out there and, you know, do the best for my team.
The reports were that Mac Jones got 90 to 95% of the snaps in practice. And that would make sense, even if Belichick planned on splitting the game between the two QBs, because Mac had been on the shelf with the high ankle injury for quite a while. Still, the way that it happened, when it happened, the body language of Mac Jones on the sidelines, all of that would indicate this was not something that he wanted to happen, that he was prepared to happen. They go three and out, and then he throws an interception early in the second quarter. So Coach Bill Belichick was Mac Jones benched.
That's not what it was, but you know, you can write whatever you want to write. That's not what it was.
All right, well, if that's not what it was, what was it? Did Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe know that they were both going to be in the game?
Well, I told the quarterbacks that we were gonna play both of them.
It's short and not so sweet, but Belichick answers the question. I told both quarterbacks we were going to play both of them. He also shoots down the idea of platooning quarterbacks, meaning going back and forth between the two, which the old adage is if you have multiple quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. If you have two or three quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. It's not a great idea in terms of consistency and rhythm and flow for your offensive line, for your receivers, for anybody really, to have multiple quarterbacks. That's a college thing. I know the Saints have gotten away with doing it, whether it was Drew Brees and Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill, but Taysom doesn't get out there and take more than a handful of snaps at quarterback. And there are very specific design plays for him. Now, Bill Belichick went on to say that he thought Mac Jones was going to get back in the game, or he anticipated putting Mac back in the game, but that the score got out of hand, and so it didn't work out that way. I don't know, Jay, if you want to run through our audio just to see if we have that, because I did see that he answered the question that way, that they were planning on putting Mac back in the game. It just didn't happen. Let me know when you got it.
He would have gone back in. The score got out of hand, so I didn't think that was the right thing to do.
All right. But what about moving forward? This was rough for both quarterbacks. It was rough all around for the offense outside of those initial two drives. So who's the Patriots starting quarterback now?
Yeah, we just finished the game.
All right. We could put all of those comments together, and they wouldn't be as long as one Matt Eberflus comment about the game. Again, the offense had two drives in which there were highlights, in which they scored. But that's it. 14 points in the second quarter is all they could muster. The Bears dominated in all phases of the game, and certainly that was something that Belichick was willing to elaborate on.
Obviously, poor performance tonight. You know, we were badly outcoached, outplayed. Just didn't do anything well enough in the game to have a chance to win or deserve to win. And the Bears did a good job. Totally controlled the game in all three phases. We got obviously a lot of work to do here, and need to perform a lot better than that. Need to compete better than that and perform better than that. It's not any one thing. Just collectively, it's all of us, and we just have to all perform better. Simple as that.
It may sound like that's just coach speak, but it's actually true in this case. They all have to perform better. And how many teams around the NFL are in this exact same space where you kind of scratch your head at what you're watching? How can they be this bad? How can they be this inconsistent? We're about to be 2 months into the regular season. What the heck happened to the offense in the NFL? Yes, there are a few teams that you can expect to put points on the board. But remember, the Lions were leading the NFL in points per game through, what, the first 4 or 5 weeks? And one of the rabbit holes I fell into on my way to work as I was driving in thinking about the Patriots quarterback situation and then the Colts quarterback situation, which we'll talk about at the top of the hour. James Boyd will join us from the Indianapolis area after Frank Reich benches Matt Ryan and turns to an unproven young QB. His name is not unfamiliar, but he's never taken a snap in an NFL game, a real NFL game. As I was driving in, I was thinking the number of strange and wacky quarterback situations around the NFL, it's crazy. We've had so many. The Dolphins maybe are tops on the list, but it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's the New England Patriots, whether it's change because of injury or ineptitude. We've seen the Jets have to start out with their backup quarterback and then move to their young QB. And while they're winning now, I don't even know what Zach Wilson is doing out there half the time. They can run the ball, or they could run the ball. They just lost Breece Hall, their rookie running back, to a torn ACL, which totally sucks. And they brought in James Robinson. But there's going to be an adjustment there. And in terms of their passing attack, it's very little. It's ineffective, to be sure. So you look around the NFL, and we're going to kind of go through some of the crazier quarterback situations. There are so many that are just weird, right? The Saints, another super weird one. Colts are on deck, though. We'll get to them next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.